Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today inshallah we'll continue with the classes of optimism, and this is the second class related to worship of Allah, and the title of the class is The Highest Rank Ever. Inshallah, today we will continue, sisters, to know about the goal of our creation. And as we learned last week from Surah number 51, verse number 52, that the goal of our creation is to worship Allah. Accordingly, we need to have the complete knowledge about worship of Allah, so that we can fulfill the goal of our creation. Actually, fulfilling the goal of our creation is an important source of hope, as we believe that Allah is pleased with us, and so he will fulfill his promises to us regarding showering us with his care, mercy and tranquility. When we fulfill our goal of creation, that is to say worshipping Allah, this means that we are obeying Allah the Almighty. And when you obey Allah and you fear him, Allah will fulfill his promises to you. We will learn now some examples of the verses of the Quran which will give you the hope that so long you are worshipping Allah correctly, Allah will give you the best in this life and in the hereafter. So we will recite now from Surah number 16, verse number 97. Surah number 16, verse number 97. You can take from the sweet, this is from the ayat.
What is it?
This is the...
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون.
Was it 97?
90.
Whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, we will surely cause him to live a good life, and we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter according to the best of what they used to do.
So actually, sister, this is the messages of hope which Allah is sending for us in the Holy Quran regarding fulfilling our goal of creation, that is to say worshipping Allah, doing the good deeds. Whoever is doing the good deeds and he is a believer in the oneness of Allah, Allah will cause him to live a good life. A good life, inshallah, is the life which is full of health, full of reassurance, full of hope. A life which he is not a burden for him. Okay, Allah will not put on him a burden which he cannot tolerate. And also Allah will reward him according to the best of what they used to do. This means that if I am always praying, but some of my prayers are better than others, Allah will reward me all my prayers according to the best of them. And this is a sign of the mercy of Allah, and it is for those whom they fulfill the goal of their creation, which is worshipping Allah, doing the good deeds while you are a believer in His oneness. We will recite again to have more hope regarding fulfilling our goal of creation from Surah number 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse number 65. Surah number 17, verse number 65.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان وكفى بربك وكيلا.
Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay, I will tell you the meaning. Okay, Celia, if you can read it. 65.
Indeed, over my believing servants there is for you no authority.
and sufficient is your Lord as disposer of affairs.
Actually, this message is from Allah to Iblis, okay, to the shaitan. Allah is sending this message to him. Indeed, over my believing servant, there is for you no authority. Okay, so if you want the shaitan to have no authority on you, this means that you will be always obeying Allah and doing the good deeds and following the right path, and Allah will be the one taking care of your affairs. You must fulfill the goal of your life and worship Allah alone, so that Allah will protect you from the main enemy of the human being, the source of all the sins, the shaitan. So long you are obeying Allah, so long you are believer in His oneness, Allah will prevent the shaitan from having any authority on you. And actually, this is the best blessing in life, because shaitan is whispering to every one of us day and night. Shaitan is our main enemy. We will recite again from Surah number 39, verse number 36. Surah number 39. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 39 is Az-Zumar, verse number 36, to know about the reward of Allah for those whom they are fulfilling the goal of their creation, which is worshipping Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda wa yukhawwifunaka bil-ladhina min dunihi. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلُ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is not Allah sufficient for His servant? Yet they there threaten you with those they worship other than Him. And whoever Allah leaves astray, for him there is no guide.
So actually, Allah the Almighty is sending for us a message here, sister, that Allah is sufficient for His servants. Allah can take care of all your affairs. Allah can make for you an outlet from any problem. Allah can provide you with no means. Allah can take care of everything. Allah is sufficient for every one of us, so long we obey Him. Allah is mentioning in Surah number 36, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Is not Allah sufficient for His servant? This is abd, means you fulfill the goal of your creation, that is to say, you are a servant of Allah. When you are a servant of Allah, Allah will be sufficient for you. But if you believe that you are not a servant of Allah, you can do everything in your life, you can take care of your affairs, so Allah will leave you to yourself, and you will never feel any good feelings, and you will never feel life is good for me. Allah will not give you this feeling. Allah will prevent you from the feeling that I am convinced with my life. I am having everything in my life. This is okay for me. I am accepting my life. This feeling to accept your decree is only for those whom they believe in the oneness of Allah. We must believe, sister, that Allah is the creator of everything. Allah is the one who creates us from dust and water. Allah is the one who makes Muna in a special way. She has these characters, she has these needs, she can tolerate this, she cannot tolerate that. And this is different from Celia, and this is different from Hanin, and every one of us is different. Okay, Allah knows what can I tolerate, what I can tolerate, what is sufficient for me, what is not for me. So only Allah can give me the feeling that I am accepting my life. I agree with everything. This life is okay for me. The only one who can make you agreeing, have the agreement for all the decree of Allah, is only Allah. So Allah is clarifying here that He is sufficient for His servants. If you are a servant, He will be sufficient for you. For those whom they don't believe in Allah, or they don't believe in the oneness of Allah, Allah is not sufficient for them, and they are astray. Allah leaves astray. For Him, there is no guide. Okay? So now, sisters, I hope that it is clear for every one of you that we must know the goal of our creation. We must live our life to worship Allah the Almighty. We must be thankful to Allah when He guides us to live our life as an act of worship for Him, because this is the goal of our creation. And inshallah, in this class, we will learn about the benefits of living the life as an act of worship of Allah the Almighty. We will learn about the benefits, and inshallah also we will learn about the conditions which we must fulfill, so that inshallah Allah will accept all our sayings and deeds as acts of worship. So as we learned last week, sister, that worship of Allah includes all the sayings and acts which we are doing for obedience of Allah. This Islamic understanding of worship allows the whole of one's life to be an act of worship, as long as the objective of that life is the obedience of Allah. There are four conditions which you must fulfill so that all your acts will be acts of worship. Number one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the action must be accompanied by a proper intention. This is the most important. Your action must be accompanied by the proper intention, which is the intention for obeying Allah and receiving the reward from Allah only. For any action or any saying, sister, basically there must be an intention. Okay, why there must be an intention? Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, actions are but by intentions. Okay, and a person gets only what he intends. Okay, so what is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this is that if I prayed Fajr prayer, all the prayers today with the intention that, oh Allah, I am praying my intention while I am doing my wudu, I have the intention, oh Allah, I will pray for your sake, inshallah, I will get the reward of the wudu and the prayer. But if another sister is doing wudu and she doesn't have the intention for her prayer for the sake of Allah, only Allah knows her prayer and wudu will be accepted or not. Why? Because actions are but by intention. This is hadith number one in Islam. Everyone must memorize this hadith. It is four words. Actions are but by intention. Okay, so you must have intention for everything. Every act and every saying, you must have the habit to have the intention. Intentions are not mentioned loudly. Intentions are in your heart. Okay? So, before doing any action or saying, try to have the habit. Because when you will accustomed with the habit, you will be all the time trying to have the habit for the sake of Allah, so that I will be rewarded. Because the actions which are not for the sake of Allah are not accepted by Allah. Allah only accepts the actions for His sake and for His reward. Because so long you believe that only Allah has the power, only Allah has the will, so the only one who can reward is Allah. Human beings cannot reward, human beings cannot punish, human beings cannot do anything except by the will and the command of Allah. So all my actions and all my sayings must be basically in my heart, oh Allah, for you are all my actions. When you wake up in the morning, okay, have this habit, sister, this is very important, okay, for you. When you wake up in the morning and you say all praise to Allah that He give me life after death, then, oh Allah, all my actions and all my deeds and all my sayings, if I forget later in the rest of the day, they are for the sake of you. Okay, so actions are but by intention. So for any action, if you have the intention for the sake of Allah, it is an act of worship, and you will be rewarded for it. Okay?
What happens like when you have two intentions? I know that sounds silly.
Yes.
Like even in the example of prayer, like your intention is to worship Allah, but it's also like to bring peace to yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
Sometimes it's not a bad intention, it's just another intention as well. Do you know it?
I tell you, Liz, there must be one intention. And you must get the habit to have one intention. to have the tranquility, peace, reassurance, or hopes to be right. Or when you call on Allah in the prayer, I am praying this prayer for the sake of Allah, and also that Allah will answer my prayers, okay? My dua during the prayer, okay? It is not supposed to be like this. It is supposed to be gradually, okay, you will have the belief that Allah knows what you are looking for. And when you call on Allah, this is the dua, okay, inshallah, Allah will answer your dua when you are living your life as an act of worship for Him, okay? So the most important basic, you know, reality or fact or fundamental reality in Islam is one intention for Allah. One intention for Allah. Then Allah will take care of everything. Okay, Allah knows everything. Allah is the one who wrote your life. Okay, so He knows everything. So your duty towards Him, which is not an easy duty, is to have the intention only for Allah. Only for Allah. Okay? Because you know, you will feel that it is not an easy job to have the intention all the time only for Allah. For example, when I marry, okay, and my husband, for example, is nervous or he is tough or whatever, okay, and I am supposed to live my life, marriage life, as an act of worship for Allah, okay, but also I want to say, and also Allah, I want my husband to be more nice with me, okay, you get my point, because it makes my life difficult, okay, but when you have the intention for the sake of Allah, Allah, and you call on Him, this is different, the intention is different than dua, okay. Before prayer, you have the intention, this prayer is for you, Allah, you commanded me to pray, and I am praying, obeying your command. But while I am in sujood, inshallah, sujood, I am calling in on Him. Oh Allah, I am trying to be an obedient servant. Oh Allah, I am trying to live my life as an act of worship for you. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, please make, I am calling on you because you are the only one who can change the heart of my husband. And I want my husband's heart to be changed so that my life will be more easy and I can worship you in a better shape. Still, you know, worshipping Allah, still you are in the same area.
Focus.
You get my point. Focused on only Allah, for the sake of Allah. This is the message which Allah wants every believer to send to Allah, the Almighty. This is the proof that you believe in His oneness. Once you believe in His oneness, Allah will fulfill all your promises for you. The most difficult in all this issue is the belief in the oneness of Allah. Why? Because most of the people, they believe that it is up to the means. Okay? Now, if I am looking for a job and she owns a company, okay, no problem. So someone will tell me, call on Allah the Almighty. Allah is the one who can give you the job. Okay? This is one person. 99% will tell me, no, a very big gift to Liz. Very nice treatment to Liz. Very big invitation to Liz. You will get the job next day. Okay? 99% of the human being, maybe one or half a one, will say, no, I will call on Allah the Almighty. Maybe Allah will give me better job than the job which Liz can give it to you. In spite of the fact that I know Liz and she's close to me, maybe Allah will plan for me more better job in another state. Okay? So I will call on Allah because Allah can do everything. To have this attitude in life, okay, it is very hard. So to have it, okay, and you to believe in it, you must have the intention only for the sake of Allah. Gradually, all your feelings, all your belief will be related only to Allah. So you will feel shy to call on human beings. I can't call on human beings. If I believe in the oneness of Allah, if my intention is only for Allah, how I will leave Allah and I will start calling on His slaves and servants? No, I will not do it. If all the people are doing it, I will not do it. If it will take time to have the job, I will not do it because I am a believer that Allah knows the best. Maybe to wait for some time is the best for me. Okay? Maybe to not to work for some time is better for me. Whatever the condition is, I will only call on Allah. I will try the means. Okay? For example, if I am sick and there is a doctor and we are living in the close to the, in the best medical center in the world, I will go to the doctor. But I am believing that no one will cure me except Allah. Oh Allah, I am going to the doctor because you commanded me to try the means. But oh Allah, my intention is for you. You are the one who can give me the cure through the doctor. Okay? So all the time, this is the most important, actually, sister, in the belief in the oneness of Allah. And this is how you can feel the mercy of Allah. And this is how Allah will shower you with His mercy. And this is how you will be close to Allah and you love Allah. When you feel and you believe that in this life and in the other life, I only have Allah. That's it. I don't have any other one. I don't have a qualification, I don't have wealth, I don't have health, I have only Allah. If Allah will take care of me and will shower me with His care, everything inshallah will be alright because He promised this in His book. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him an outlet. Allah will make his matters ease. Allah will be sufficient for him. All the matters are up to him only. So why I will, you know, have the intention, another intention with Allah, only Allah for my intention. And I will clarify to you more and more in this class, inshallah.
And I have this additional question, but it's almost like the same, but we kind of live in a way where we always want to do something because it pleases us, or because we have desires, like I like pasta. So I'm going to eat pasta today, and I'm eating it because I like it.
Okay.
But is it because it's my favorite meal and it makes me happy?
Okay.
Can we live in a sense that it makes me happy, or
no.
Can you have that, it makes me happy?
I want to tell you one thing. You can like pasta, and you can eat it, and maybe it will not make you happy. There is a possibility, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so have your happiness all the time. You know, I don't know, sister, maybe this is difficult for you, but this is the reality of Islam, and this is the belief, and this is the way to Allah. Okay? Whatever you eat, Allah makes us human beings having desires. You can like pasta, you can like special clothes, you can like the best car. All of this, you can like it. But happiness is not related to materialistic issues in the worldly life. You must believe in this. Happiness is in the heart. And the controller of the heart is Allah. Okay? You cannot control your heart. You can say, if I have this Mercedes car, tomorrow I will be, you know, the happiest person in life. Then Allah will plan for you that you will have the Mercedes and you will have another catastrophe at the same time. You will hate the day you see that mercy. Actually, I have one closest relative, one of my, you know, first degree relative, you know, and she was looking for a Mercedes car. Allah knows, you know.
And
she goes to the Mercedes car.
Everywhere.
And you can't imagine, for 2 years, she was having car accidents. Major.
Oh, la, la.
Major car accidents, yes. You know, and then she was working and she was kicked out of her work. And you can't imagine, for 2 years, she was facing a lot of catastrophes. One day, she said, get rid of this Mercedes car, by any means, for any price. And you can't imagine, this Mercedes car, she bought it maybe with 40,000. She lost it after 2 years with $7,000. She said, you know, I can't see or I will commit suicide because of this Mercedes car. Can you imagine this? You know, this is one of my closest relatives, okay? And I don't know how to save this Mercedes car with the 7,000 for any other person to buy it. She said today she went to one shop in Houston, she gave them the car, and that's
done.
It. Yes, done deal. She lost maybe $10,000 in 1 second because she can sell it with, yes, at least 20,000. But I can't see that car anymore, and I will never drive a Mercedes car. I will use the bus for the rest of my life. Yes, this is the problem, sister. Happiness is not up to our materialistic plans. Happiness is something totally different, and it is from Allah, the Almighty. There are some people whom they are actually they are poor, really poor, but they have big dreams, and they are living for that dream. Okay? And they live every day waiting for the second day for that dream to happen. And they are very satisfied. And there are others, you can't imagine how they are living their life. And they are always very upset. I will give you another story because all the sisters like the stories. My Arabic class is related to stories. And if I try to explain some verses of the Quran, the sisters will tell me, this is too much, Sister Mona. When I explain five verses of the Quran in the Quranic class, it is a Quranic class, it is not a social meeting, you know, but I will tell you this story also for the sake of Allah, so that we learn. Okay, my daughter is in St. Thomas, you know, college here. And there are a group of friends. One of them, she is, you know, she had a boyfriend, okay? To cut it short, okay? And she told them, you know, that my new boyfriend is extremely rich, okay? He is living in River Oaks in a mansion, okay? And he has Rolls Royce. He is a student in St. Thomas. Okay, so Yusri told me, you know, I will show you the picture of that person. I don't want to say it here, but nobody will listen to this from River Oaks. Okay, I will show you the picture of Peter and Joyce. And that Peter, he has Rolls Royce. He has two houses, two mansions in River Oaks because his mother and father are separated. And every one of them is having a mansion. Okay, he has two ranches and he has two summer houses in Florida. And he has. Okay, one day I will get for you the picture. If you have the picture of the most miserable human being in life, this is the face of that Peter. In spite of the fact he is standing with his girlfriend like this, so he is supposed to show the best of his feelings. But he is very miserable in the picture. So I told her, Yosh, this is not normal. Why that boy is so upset while he has everything? You know, he looks, you know, he has a nice looking and he is rich and he is studying in a good college. And he has a family, and he has a nice one whom he is proposing to her, he wants to marry her, okay? And he is a very straightforward human being. She told me because he had a very interesting story, okay? His father is a dealer of Mercedes and Rolls Royce, I think, in River Oaks. His father, grandfather, you know, very big family. And he married his neighbor, the neighbor in River Oaks. And they lived a good life and they had two sons, Peter and his brother. When Peter was 12 years old, the father started to travel all the time to Las Vegas. Every week, Las Vegas, okay? Then after maybe a year, he called Peter and his brother, 12 years old and 11 years old, and he said to them, I am not happy with your mother. And I have a relation with a stripper in Las Vegas. Yes, a stripper in Las Vegas. Okay? So Peter is saying that. I start crying. I told him, no, we don't want this. You know, because in River Oaks, I think they are neighbors and they know each other and this social high class level. Okay? So he told them, I am promising I will never marry her. Okay, but I will keep a relation with her. Okay, after 1 year, he married her. And his wife asked for divorce and he divorced their mother. Okay, and now the one who is living is the stripper with her 7 years old son. Okay, so, you know, he hates his life, he hates his father, he hates his mother, he cannot believe any promises, he is against everything. And whenever he is speaking, I am living with the stripper. You see, what is this? You know, and he left the two mansions in River Oaks. He had a very small apartment in Kirby Street. The second one, okay, he is now also in St. Thomas, okay, he is living in the dorm. Can you imagine? He is living in the dorm.
I would.
He will leave the two mansions. He will leave the Rolls Royce. He will leave the Mercedes and all of this. And just today in the morning, she was showing me some pictures, new pictures. Still, Peter is very upset. Very upset in spite of the fact he has a shoot with 1,000. He has, yes. She told me, Yosra knows, you know, all these things. She told me, look to his shoes, this is 1,000. Look to that one, this is Hermes. Look to this one, this is Burberry. Peter is equal to $5,000.
Okay. I'd be afraid to leave the house.
But what is the happiness? And one day he came with the Rolls Royce and all the girls are waving to Peter. Okay. This is the reality of this life, sisters. So I must have Allah in my life. I must have Allah so that Allah will give me what I need. Allah will, I don't want the Rolls Royce and all of this if this is not the happiness. If all the time he is unhappy, he forget about all what Allah gives him and he is focusing on the striber. All the time the striber.
That would be hard not to focus on.
So you know, the more you live, the more you communicate with the people, the more you live, more experiences. Okay, you will realize the importance of having one intention for the sake of Allah. Okay, so number one, that our intention for any saying or deed is for the sake of Allah. That is to say, I have purity of intention regarding the reason for the act or the saying regarding the reward. I don't want the reward from my husband. I don't want the reward from the boss of my job. I don't want the reward from my kids if I raise them. I want the reward only from Allah the Almighty. So this is number one. This is the first condition for your actions to be acts of worship. Number two, the action or the saying must be lawful, according to the law of Islam, that is to say, not prohibited from Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Allah is pure and good, and he accepts only what is pure and good. Okay, Allah is pure and good. So, for example, to sell intoxicants, okay, then to give charity from its money, this is not an act of worship. Okay, many people in, many Muslims in America, they are selling, you know, the intoxicants, okay?
The gas station owner.
Yes, alcohol, and all around, you know. So then they say that we give charity. Your charity is not accepted, okay? Because it is from, you know, haram money. Number three,
so
regarding...
Zakat is not accepted?
Yes, zakat from haram money is not accepted, yes. Mm-hmm. Allah only accept halal. If you can give halal, if you can earn halal, give charity. If you cannot earn halal, you are not questioned for charity. No problem. Don't give charity. But don't earn haram.
That's not.
Okay? This is logic. Okay. Number three, you must observe the Islamic law in every action and deed. What is the meaning of this? Deception, oppression, okay, must be avoided. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, he who deceives us is not one of us. Okay? You cannot deceive. If you are a deceiver, okay? For example, if I want to collect charity, okay, but I collect charity through deceiving. I will tell you, sister, there is one sister in the class, she is very poor, she cannot eat, she cannot drink, she can. You are a deceiver, Mona, you are a liar, Mona, but your goal is good, you want to collect money. Yes, but don't collect money, you know, against the Islamic law, through deception or oppression, okay? The fourth condition is the activity should not keep the person from performing the religious obligation. Okay, the activity should not keep the person from performing the religious obligations. We will recite now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah number 63, verse number 9, to know about this important thing. 9.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون.
O you who have believed, let not your wealth and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah, and whoever does that, then those are the losers.
Actually, sister, the meaning of this verse of the Quran is that suppose you are taking care of your baby, okay, you are cooking, you are cleaning, okay, the house, but because of taking care of the baby and cleaning and cooking, sometimes you forget about the time of prayer. Okay, you cannot pray Fajr prayer because I wake up all the night with my baby. Okay, or I was in my school, or I was in my job. Okay, this is wrong. Your job or the time you spend in the work will not be accepted as an act of worship if it will prevent you from praying the prayer at the proper time. Okay, so this is the meaning of the activity should not keep the person from performing his religious obligation. For example, working from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. while forgetting about prayers at time, just praying them all at the end of the day after returning home. These 12 hours at work cannot be an act of worship so long they keep you from performing your prayer in the proper time. Okay. So if you want your act to be an act of worship, it must not stop you from doing...
One clarification I would like is, at some point... most of us, sometimes you do your prayer and then for, let's say, you are in the middle of a meeting or something and you don't do it. Okay. But what are the... only time where you can postpone a prayer, like when is it accepted to postpone a prayer versus do it at the moment?
To tell you the truth, there is no excuse for postponing any prayer, basically. Okay, but if it is very difficult for you to leave a meeting, for example, if Liz is going to a meeting with non-Muslims in America, okay, and they are discussing a very important issue. Okay, if the time of the meeting, for example, Dhuhr prayer, for example, from 1:15 to 4:30, for example, okay, she must try her best to finish, to have, prayer is 5 minutes with wudu, all 5 minutes. She must try, you know, by all the means, you know, to execute for 5 minutes, okay, if she can. But if this is not allowed, okay, the whole 3 hours, okay, to leave the place, so she can pray later. Okay.
When you say proper time, is it between Asr and Maghrib that time? Or is it that time when you get on your watch?
No. You have the time. It is always the time between that prayer and the next prayer. Okay. Allah gives us some time. Okay. But as you mentioned, the shortest time is the time of Asr prayer or Maghrib prayer. Okay. And because of that, Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran, حافظوا على, take care of all the prayers, okay, and especially the middle prayer, which is the Asr prayer. Allah insisted in the Quran about the Asr prayer, okay, and because the time of Asr prayer is short, there is no prayer, you know, there is no sunnah before it or after it. It is just the Asr prayer. It is just the 4 rak'ahs, which you can take from you 3 minutes. Okay? But again and again, you know, if you are in a middle of a meeting, and this can cause more troubles and a lot of problems for you, okay, you can try, okay, to, if you cannot escape these 5 minutes from the meeting, okay, just after finishing the meeting, pray the prayer and ask forgiveness from Allah. Okay? Because Allah is the most merciful. Okay, but because I don't want someone to come and tell me I attended a meeting, and in the middle of the meeting, I say I want to pray, so they fire her. Okay, no problem. Some of the scholars will say, no problem, be fired. No, this is not correct. If she's fired, who will provide for her? Oh, Allah will provide for her, but Allah is the most merciful. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So if you fulfill this 4 conditions in all your sayings and in your acts, inshallah, Allah will accept all your sayings and all your actions as an act of worship. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, one of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, one of his companions, they ask him, about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, working to support the family. This is an act of worship or not? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if he is working to support his family, then this is for the sake of Allah. You see the intention, sisters, to support the family. If he is working to support his elderly parents, then it is for the sake of Allah. If he is working to occupy himself and keep his desires in check, then it is for the sake of Allah. If, on the other hand, he is doing this to show off and earn fame, then this is for the sake of the shaitan. Okay? So the most important regarding the intention is that it is for the sake of Allah. Any deed, any good deed, which is fulfilling the four conditions according to the law of Islam, observing the law of Islam will not prevent me from my religious duties. My intention is for the sake of Allah. Any deed, any things are acts of worship. Even the most natural acts can become an act of worship if they are accompanied by the proper intention. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when one of you approaches his wife, it is an act of worship. Okay, and this is very important, sister, to know, because for the wife, to say to her husband, no, I don't want, no, not now, no, I am tired, if she is not so tired, okay, this means that she will be punished for this, because this is an act of worship. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we can actually, sister, turn every activity, our sleeping, our eating, our drinking, our marriage, care of children, our good manners, to act of worship if we fulfill these four conditions. Now, inshallah, this is the second part of the class. We will learn, inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when we will give this for the one who will answer this question. Okay. If you are living your life as an act of worship to Allah, this means that you are a slave or servant to Allah or not? Who agreed and say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All of you? Okay. So you can divide this one. Okay, when you live your life as an act of worship to Allah, or when you live your life to worship Allah, this means that you have the title slave or servant to Allah. I want to clarify to you the meaning of slave or servant to Allah in Arabic. In Arabic, Allah said abd, ayn, bih, dal, abdullah. Okay, abd can be in English either slave or servant. Both of them are correct. Okay, because there are some Muslims whom they say, we are not slaves to Allah. No, you are a slave to Allah or you are a servant to Allah. Okay, so this is the meaning of being a slave or servant to Allah. This is the word abd. Okay, now I will explain to you the title of the class, which is the highest rank ever. The highest rank ever in life is to be a servant or a slave to Allah. When you tell me why, Sister Mona, being a slave or servant to Allah is the highest rank in life, I will tell you, I will give you the proofs from the Holy Quran. All the angels and all the prophets were called slaves and servants of Allah. So if you want to have the title of all the prophets, the title of the angels, it is the slaves and servants of Allah. Okay? Now we will recite from the Holy Quran to learn about the word Abdullah, slave of Allah, servant of Allah. So that if anyone will come and tell you, MashaAllah, you are a slave of Allah, you will realize that he is giving you the highest rank ever. We will recite now about the angels, to know that the angels are slaves and servants of Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 21, verse number 26, 27 and 28. Actually, sister, this knowledge is very important for every Muslim. Okay? So that when you tell me, Sister Mona, what you are looking for, I tell you I am looking for to be a slave of Allah. This is my goal of life. This means that I am worshipping Allah in all my things and all my deeds, and I am like the angels. and I am like the prophets. Okay, so you tell me, give me the proof that the angels were servants and slaves of Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 21, verse number 26, 27, and 28.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا سبحانه بل عباد مكرمون لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى وهم من خشيته مشفقون.
And they say, the Most Merciful has taken a son, exalted is he, rather they are but honored servants. They cannot precede him in word, and they act by his command. He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them, and they cannot intercede except on behalf of one whom he approves, and they from fear of him are apprehensive.
Actually, these are the angels. Okay, so if you want to know about the characters of the angels in the Quran, their characters are mentioned in Surah number 21, verse number 26, 27, and 28. They cannot precede him in words, and they act by his command. These are, again, the characters of the angels. They cannot precede Allah in words. They act by his command. And he knows everything about them. And, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they can't intercede except on behalf of one whom he approves. And they fear Allah. Okay, these are the characters of the angels. Now we will learn about Jesus. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, especially because it was said that he is his son. No, he is his servant, Jesus himself. In many verses of the Quran, he mentioned that I am the slave, I am the servant of Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 43, verse number 57 and 59 to know about this important fact related to Prophet عيسى عليه السلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة number 43, verse number 57 and 59. This is also, sister, very important knowledge. So long we are living in the West to know about Prophet Jesus, and he admitted, okay, that he is the servant of Allah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولما ضرب ابن مريم مثلا إذا قومك منه يصدون وقالوا أآلهتنا خير أم هو ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا بل هم قوم خصمون إن هو إلا عبد أنعمنا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل.
We will recite these verses, and then I will give you another verse when Jesus himself is saying, and I am the servant of Allah.
And when the son of Mary was presented as an example, immediately your people laughed aloud, and they said, are our gods better, or is he? They did not present it, except for argument. But in fact, they are a people prone to dispute. 59. Mm-hmm. He, Jesus, was not but a servant upon whom we bestowed favor, and we made him an example for the children of Israel.
So Allah the Almighty is informing us in these verses of the Quran that Jesus was not but a servant upon whom we bestowed favor. Now we will recite from Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, verse number 30. When Jesus himself will say, I am a servant of Allah. Okay, we will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse 29 and 30, so that we will know that he is a Prophet Jesus, because he is the one who spoke when he was a baby. Okay.
فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So she pointed to him. They said, how can we speak to one who is in the cradle, a child? Jesus said, "Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet."
So actually, sister, these are the first words which Prophet Jesus said when he was just born. Okay, this is a very important fact for every Muslim to know and to believe in while we are living in the West. Okay, the first few words which Prophet Jesus said while he was a baby, okay, he said, indeed, I am the servant of Allah. That's it. Okay? Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Actually, Abd in Arabic is more to the slave. Okay, but some of the books, you know, of the translation, I think for the English, for the other languages other than Arabic, you know, there are some people whom they are upset when you say you are the slave of Allah. Yes, they don't like it. Servant is okay.
Yeah, so and the Arabic language, like slave, it's not like the slave here in the States, the way it's looked at it. The slave in the Arabic language is like, if I'm a slave to you, it's not like, it means like, that I love you very much. It's like, you know, he's slaving for her. It's like, he loves her so much that, so it's a different meaning altogether. That's why I guess you're right. In this translation, they try to use servant instead of slave.
Because of the mentality, you know, slave. So actually, the most important is that Jesus, you know, said, I am, the first words he said when he was just born, indeed, I am the servant of Allah. So if
I was going to say, it's funny if you think about it, though, like in a family sense or even as a married couple, one is quick to say, I'm not your slave, go get it yourself. You know, so we're quick to use it in a negative way, like, I'm not your slave, you can do that yourself. So, whereas we should look at it in a positive way and think, like, okay, if we're the slave of Allah, you know, we shouldn't mind helping each other, doing things for each other.
This is the issue. I close that now. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, our Prophet, our role model, whom every Muslim is supposed to follow. Okay, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the servant of Allah in many verses of the Holy Quran. When Allah is calling on Prophet Muhammad, he is calling him my servant, my slave. Okay, we will recite now from one of these verses. Okay, and it is always the verse number one in many surah of the Quran. For example, in surah number 18, in surah number 25, in surah number 16, in all these surahs, the opening of the surah is a message from Allah to his slave Muhammad, peace be upon him. We will recite now from surah number 25 to know that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is just a slave and servant to Allah. So it is the honor for every one of us and the high strength to be a slave and servant to Allah. Surah number 25, verse number 1.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion upon his servant that they may be to the worlds a warner.
Okay. So actually the one who sends the criterion, which is the Holy Quran, is Allah upon his servant. His servant is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was always that Allah will not say upon Muhammad, he will say upon his servant. So this means that being a servant or a slave of Allah is an honor. Okay, all the prophets were having that title, slaves and servants of Allah. We will recite now from surah number 6, verse number 88, to know about this, or I will tell you exactly. So that, sisters, you will have the idea and you will have the belief that being a servant and slave of Allah, I am like the angels, I am like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am like Jesus, I am like all the prophets, I am in the highest rank of the human being. So long I am a servant and slave of Allah. Surah number 6, verse number 82 to 88. Surah number 6. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 82 to 88.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا أيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم.
أيوة ماشي.
ووهبنا له إسحاق ويعقوب كلا هدينا ونوحا هدينا من قبل ومن ذريته داود وسليمان وأيوب ويوسف وموسى وهارون وكذلك نجزي المحسنين وزكريا ويحيى وعيسى وإلياس كل من الصالحين وإسماعيل واليسع ويونس ولوطا وكلا فضلنا على العالمين ومن آبائهم وذرياتهم وإخوانهم واجتبيناهم وهديناهم إلى صراط مستقيم ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء من عباده ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون.
In these verses of the Quran, most of the prophets are mentioned. And Allah is giving them the title, His servant. So let us recite these verses of the Quran so that we will be sure about these things.
They who believe and do not mix their belief with injustice, those will have security and they are rightly guided. And that was our conclusive argument which we gave Abraham against his people. We raise by degrees whom we will. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing. And we gave to him Isaac and Jacob, all of them. We guided, and Noah we guided before, and among his descendants, David and Solomon, and Job and Joseph, and Moses and Aaron. Thus do we reward the doers of good. And Zechariah and John, and Jesus and Elias, and all were of the righteous. And Ishmael and Elisha, and Jonah and Lot, and all of them we preferred over the world. And some among their fathers and their descendants and their brothers, and we chose them and we guided them to a straight path. That is the guidance of Allah by which He guides whomever He wills of His servants. But if they are associated others with Allah, then worthless for them would be whatever they were doing.
Actually, Allah the Almighty, after mentioning all, most of the names of the prophets, then Allah said, "This that is the guidance of Allah by which He guides whomever He wills of His servants." Okay? So all of them are the servants of Allah. So if you are looking for the highest rank ever, it is being a slave or servant to Allah. Again, sister, to know about the highest rank ever, we must know that the best, the most beloved names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked, what are the most beloved names to Allah? He answered, Abdullah, the servant or the slave of Allah, and Abdul Rahman, the servant or the slave or of the most merciful. Okay, so this is the proof that these names are the most beloved names to Allah. Actually, there is a very famous dua of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, if you are looking for sorrow and grief to be replaced by joy. Okay, and that dua or supplication is based on the recognition of the believer that he is a slave of Allah. Okay, when you believe that I am a slave of Allah, and inshallah you say that dua of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah will replace your sorrow and grief by joy. So let us know that dua now, so that inshallah we will be always believing that the highest rank in life is the being a slave of Allah, and we will be always calling on Allah with this known dua of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so that inshallah Allah will remove the anxiety and grief and will give us the joy and happiness. The dua, sister, is, O Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, or daughter of your slave, if I am a female, okay? Daughter of your female slave, my forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Holy Quran the life of my spirit and the light of my chest, a departure of my sorrow and a release of my anxiety. If you repeat that dua, believing that, O Allah, I am your slave. I am the daughter of your slave. My father is a slave. My mother is a slave. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed. And your decree over me is just. You must believe in the introduction. Okay, you cannot call on Allah looking for joy and happiness while in reality you don't believe that His decree is just. Okay, this is the importance of the belief systems. Okay, you must all the time believe that the decree of Allah is just, in spite of the fact maybe I don't understand it. It is not clear for me, because Allah said in the Holy Quran that human beings doesn't know and Allah knows. So long I don't know, it is not clear for me. But I believe it is just. Okay, you must believe in this. Okay, you must believe in the introduction, so that when you start asking on Allah by His names, okay, that Allah will make the Holy Quran, you know, the life of your spirit, the light of your chest, the departure of your sorrow and release of your anxiety. Insha'Allah, Allah all the mighty will make you to have a connection with the Holy Quran. And at any moment you feel upset, you feel lonely, you feel not happy, you feel lost, you will feel that I need the Holy Quran. I want to recite the Holy Quran. Because insha'Allah, as soon as I will start reciting the Holy Quran, okay, Allah will make the Holy Quran a departure of my sorrow and a release of my anxiety. After 10 to 15 minutes of recitation of the Holy Quran with the belief that this will be the source of a departure of my sorrow, and I will feel the mercy of Allah, I will feel relaxed, I will be again in a good shape. Insha'Allah, you will feel all these feelings after recitation of the Holy Quran. Many of the Muslims recite the Holy Quran, but they don't have any feelings. Okay, unfortunately. Okay, they recite for the sake of the reward. Every letter with 10 good deeds. Okay, so it is the book of reward for them. The Holy Quran is the book of reward for those whom they believe in the message, whom they believe that only Allah, whom they believe that my intention is for Allah, whom they believe that the decree of Allah is just. Okay, I am accepting, I agree, O Allah, you are the most merciful. When you have all this belief in your heart, and then you start recitation of the words of Allah, you are connecting with Allah immediately. Sister, you will feel that, you know, there is something changing in my spirit. I start to feel different. The problem is not so big. Allah is there. Insha'Allah, there is an outlet. Why I make it so dark? Still there is a light. Okay, I can move now. I can start participating in the life. I was taking a side, but now I am more better. This is how the Quran is the cure, and this is how Allah, the one controlling the hearts, when you connect with His words in the correct way, believing that you are the slave, the daughter of the slave, the daughter of the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, female slave. Why all of these slaves at the beginning? So that you are sending to Allah the message, I am nothing, O Allah. None has any power. Me, my parents, all the human beings are just slaves. They cannot do anything. They don't own themselves. They don't have any will, because the will is for the one who owns the slaves, Allah the Almighty. So I must start my dua to Allah with sending this message. Oh Allah, I am dust. Oh Allah, I am helpless. Oh Allah, I am nothing. Oh Allah, you are everything. Oh Allah, if I connect with your words, this is the only way for me in my life. Always try to send to Allah this message of the belief in His oneness. This is the most important for Allah. And actually, sisters, when you have these feelings clear in your spirit, you will feel that Allah makes you to say all of this for your own sake. Because when you feel that I am just helpless, I am nothing, okay, this is the reality. Inside your spirit, in the depths of your spirit, every one of us is believing that I can do anything. And because of that, nothing can be done. But the true believer in the oneness of Allah has Allah. So in spite of the fact that I cannot do anything, and if everyone will try to help me, my problem is more complicated. But no, there is Allah, and Allah can make everything. Okay, so all the time when you repeat this kind of supplications, okay, you will feel that you love Allah more. You are connected to Him more because He is the one who owns me. But He is guiding me. Okay, to have the freedom. Your spirit is free from everything. I don't fear anyone. I don't care for anyone. I don't think of anyone. None can harm me. None can benefit me except Allah, and I am in the best relation with Him. Oh Allah, I am your servant and I am your slave. So inshallah we will have this supplication, and inshallah we will continue with the benefits of worshipping Allah next week inshallah, and let us make the dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.